Welcome to I Feel Us on Air with Noemi. Join us every Friday night at 7 p.m. only on Double Radio 92.7 FM. The call line is always open at 844-967-2789. And I believe we're going to be taking callers in the third section. So right after that break before we go to the end there. But yeah, welcome back to another show. I do want to quickly announce and just kind of talk about the protest that is happening today. There is a protest today at the Capitol with all of the high schools in the Madison area, and we are I'm sure we'll have updates next week about the protests, but I know Grace has been organizing it. If you don't know who Grace is, then you can go to the podcast on our, I guess, on In Pursuit of Sunshine under the podcast. We did an episode with Grace a couple of weeks ago. So that will be great. But today we are here with Athena and Micah. I'm going to introduce Athena, or I guess, Athena, you can introduce yourself.
Sure.
Cool. Wonderful. Yeah. What is Two Ferns Native?
So we are a native perennial nursery in Madison, Wisconsin. We're located on the east side. Relatively new. We just started in about 2019. But Madison's kind of an underserved market for native plants exclusively. And mm-hmm. So that's what we do.
How did you get into that?
So my background is actually in forestry, ecosystem restoration specifically. I have for about the last decade been working in the field of restoration, the latter half of that as a land manager doing mm-hmm. natural areas restoration and landscaping with native plants. And then just the last couple of years kind of slowly backed out of that and started growing the plants and making native plants available for sale to the public.
Wonderful. Yeah. So how could we kind of get involved in the nursery?
So there's not much. I mean, we are a private nursery, so there's not much in terms of getting involved. And actually, it's mm-hmm. it's very nice to have community support and people that have offered to volunteer. Mm-hmm. And I have had some help from friends and family, actually a tremendous amount of help.
That's
Michael
wonderful.
Actually helped me put up the hoop house the first time, helped me put the stakes in. But yeah, supporting us and getting native plants from us is probably the best way to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
Buy your plants.
Yeah. How do native plants kind of support us?
So native plants, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why native plants are important. They're kind of the plants in general are like the base of the food chain, right? And mm-hmm. so they support a ton of different animals, insects. And insects really also are kind of the key thing.
Mm-hmm.
They do a ton of work. They decompose, they're pollinators, they're a food source for a number of birds, animals, all sorts of wildlife.
Yeah.
But native plants are what really support the diverse array of insects that we have that mm-hmm. are doing that important work.
Yeah. So I know you're kind of talking about like the location of your place. What are some of the interesting kind of parts about having like a native nursery in Madison?
The interesting parts about it, I guess I'm kind of surprised that there wasn't one before.
Yeah.
Even so where I was working before, we would go, Agricol is a wonderful and huge supplier of native plants.
Mm-hmm.
And probably closest to Madison. They're still down in Janesville, Evansville area, which is like 45 minutes to an hour south of Madison. So we get a lot of our plants from there, and actually two different sources plants from there for mm-hmm. stuff that we can't grow ourselves, stuff that we don't have the room to grow because we're also very small.
Mm-hmm.
I basically have turned my furnace room in the basement into a grow room, right? But there's only so much space.
Yeah.
And there's a good amount of demand, which is great. But yeah, there's just kind of a there is a lack of a local source
mm-hmm.
and even Agricol's, they do a lot of wholesale stuff. But in the area it's kind of lacking. So I'm trying to fill that gap.
Yeah, for sure. Why did you name it Two Ferns?
Oh man, that's a good question. Honestly, picking a name for the nursery was one of the hardest parts of starting the business. Mm-hmm. There's not really a lot of meaning behind it, honestly. Mm-hmm. I really like ferns. I actually kind of thought of it. I think I knew I wanted to do something that had kind of two words, something that was easy to remember, not too complicated, but felt, I don't know, true to me or something. But yeah. I was actually biking up Washington Island by Door County, and we were biking past an area that was just a bunch of ferns, and I was like, you know what? Two ferns. And it just kind of stuck, and for lack of better options. Yeah. I wish there was a better story to it. But
no, that's a great story. yeah, I know that oftentimes it can seem kind of difficult to take care of native plants. How do you kind of go about that? Or like, how do you, like when you give plants to people, how does that work?
Yeah, I think the most important thing to do, well, before you even get the plants and need to take care of the plants, the best thing you can do is prepare your site properly. Mm-hmm. Get rid of any of the really difficult weeds that are there. If you mm-hmm. have... Well, if you have just lawn that you're converting to a garden, which is the easiest thing you can do, highly recommend that, even just a small space. But killing off that lawn sufficiently first, whether you're smothering it or whatever, mm-hmm. That's easy. Usually lawn doesn't have as many aggressive weed seeds in it that are going to come back, so it's pretty easy to prepare that. Mm-hmm. If you have an area that was really weedy, you might want to spend like an entire year maybe tackling the weeds, getting those out of there before you plant. Mm-hmm. But then once you install the plants, watering them in really well for the first couple weeks is when they're really gonna need that. They're kind of like babies in that way or something, right? They need the most attention when they're really young. Mm-hmm. Once you put them in. But after the first couple weeks of good watering, if we get rain, that's great. You don't even have to do that as much. Mm-hmm. But in following years, you should not need to water at all. Which is fantastic.
That's great, yeah. I know here we get a lot of rainwater, and especially looking back at 2018 when we had a lot of flooding. How do native plants kind of combat that?
Native plants are a fantastic way to sort of mitigate heavy storm flows. Mm-hmm. Rain gardens are a very applicable thing that we can do in our own yards to collect stormwater from our roofs. They have deep root systems that are going to help infiltrate that water. Mm-hmm. Sedges especially, different plants. I like to put the sedges kind of close to where the downspout is because they do a really good job of slowing the water down, which is also going to prevent erosion, mm-hmm. Catch some of the sediment before it overflows potentially into our lakes, into our sewers. But yeah, native plants are very well adapted to handle that.
Mm-hmm. That's great, yeah. How can you find out more, like, information about native plants and, like, the care of native plants?
Yeah, there is a ton of good information online. Wild Ones, I'm also very active in our mm-hmm. local Wild Ones chapter. They're a wonderful resource for any and all things native plants. And actually, when I first joined Wild Ones, excuse me, I kind of assumed that it was sort of a gardening specific group, but mm-hmm. when I actually started attending meetings, there is a wealth of knowledge that is within the members mm-hmm. that they have to share, which is fantastic. So Wild Ones, getting involved with them. Mm-hmm. We have a Facebook group as well where conversation is just a great way to learn as well. Yeah. People have questions and mm-hmm. there's other people that'll answer. So yeah, I'd recommend getting involved with your local Wild Ones chapter. And Extension has some good information, tons of stuff online.
Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people don't have a lot of space to put native plants. What's another way that they could kind of support the movement?
Definitely. Native garden does not have to be huge. You can even take a very, very small space in your yard and put even just a couple plants in. Something is certainly better than nothing. If you don't have a yard that you can do that in, you know, if you have the time, volunteer for a local garden. Mm-hmm. I actually am leading a volunteer effort at the Henry Vilas Zoo through the Wild Ones. We have a pollinator garden that was originally installed in 2015, and then it was kind of neglected actually for a couple of years and got pretty badly overrun with weeds. Mm-hmm. But we just started last year to sort of revitalize that garden. And mm-hmm. it's been a volunteer effort of, there's about 10 of us probably. And we got it looking really good by the end of last year is amazing. So even if you don't have your own garden, just getting involved.
In another garden.
Yeah, in another garden.
Yeah, for sure. I know that we were out there at Two Ferns last summer, and there's just so many different like relationships between the insects and the like the native plants. And I know you were kind of talking about some of the species that come around that might not be like as prevalent, I guess. I was wondering if you could kind of talk about like the biodiversity aspect.
Yeah, so that is, I mean, that's pretty much the core of it. That's why native plants are important. There are mm-hmm. so many specialized relationships between certain native pollinators and particular native plants. Mm-hmm. You know, the most common one that a lot of people know about is milkweed and monarchs. But there's tons of relationships like that. I'm not an entomologist. I wish I knew more about a lot of those specific relationships. Mm-hmm. But that's also why, you know, biodiversity is important, because you create more space for those relationships. Mm-hmm. And not even just creating more opportunities for the relationships with various pollinators, but diverse plantings. It's hard because in my head I'm thinking about gardens, but also I'm thinking about large scale like restoration projects.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But in general, biodiversity is going to sort of create resiliency.
Mm-hmm.
So it just makes for a healthier habitat, I guess, if you will.
Yeah. How have you seen how, like, native plants can kind of relate to communities and, like, bringing together a community?
I think, you know, and that's where it's, like, thinking about sort of wild ones mm-hmm. has been a wonderful sense of community that I feel like has been good to be a part of. And being able to reach out and interact with other people. And I know you talked about it at a previous show that you had, but we're also going to be at the Lake Wingra watershed event, right?
Yeah,
and that's
sure.
just a way that's to like connect with people. Yeah, next Saturday. Wow. Yeah, that came fast.
I know.
But yeah, being able to connect with other people,
mm-hmm.
just sort of build those relationships, but also building the relationship with the land through mm-hmm. our gardens and plants.
Yeah. And that's interesting too that you bring that up, because I think, you know, having all of those components, I know there's a lot of people that are going to be talking about the water like itself and all of the life within the water, but then also you're going to be there. what would you say is your kind of like main goal in education, like with the people that come to your nursery or just in general?
That is a tough one. I wish I had, Mike and I were talking about this on the way here, I wish I had more of the educator core in me. But if I could just help people understand the importance of it and get them started and help them find that spark that gets them into it,
mm-hmm.
I think that would be great.
That'd be wonderful. And we're going to continue the conversation after this break and go to Micah afterward. Thank you so much for tuning in.